Good morning.
Good morning,
and a very warm welcome to one and all. The intimations will be as shown on the screen. As always, we open our service with a responsive psalm, which this morning is 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. Our first hymn this morning is 225. Summer suns are glowing. They're not quite, but perhaps hopefully this afternoon. So hymn 225. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. God of creation, you brought life to all that we see. You set the boundaries of the universe and placed us within its care. Creator God, breathe life into your creation. Holy Spirit, you bind your children together in community. Your bonds transcend borders created by humanity. You kindle the fire within us that stirs our passions for faith, for justice, and for reconciliation. Spirit God, inspire us with the spirit of reconciliation. Jesus Christ, you came to teach and lead. You showed us the cost of discipleship when you stood up against the powers of a world and they tried to suppress your truth by sentencing you to death. Your life was more powerful than death, and your truth lives on in us, your people. Jesus Christ, help us reflect your light of truth and peace. Heavenly Father, early in the morning, as creation stirs and birdsong resonates, and as the first rays of light break through the hanging mist, we wait on you in this time and place. And out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, stretching out of our slumbers, for we are grateful for the rest and refreshments of a night's sleep, and for the fact that you have watched over us and protected us. We open our eyes in delight at the gift of a new day, eager to discover the unexpected delights you have in store for us. We wait on you in this time and place and in this safe space, and out of the depths of our hearts and souls, we cry to you, turning our thoughts to those we love, near and far. We take comfort that we do not travel through this world on our own, for we have companions, friends, and family who stay close, and more so we remember your promise that you will be with us to the end of the world. We wait on you in this time and place, and out of the depth of our hearts and souls we cry to you, because we know you listen to all that matters in our lives. You do not hold our failings against us, but see our best and forgive us when we stray. You give us the confidence to share our vulnerability, to open up in the confidence that you will heal our wounds. We wait on you in this time and place, and out of the depths of our hearts and souls we cry to you. Because we believe you watch over us and witness all that happens in our lives. Because we believe you not only listen, but you can shape and sculpt our lives so that we may walk closer, love deeper, and behave more like you would have us. Because we believe that even though we incline to go our own way, still you are our constant and lasting hope. We wait on you in this time and place, and out of the depth of our hearts and souls we cry to you. God of compassion and mercy, we turn to you in confession, seeking your healing for our broken lives and for our broken world. We acknowledge before you and in the presence of our sisters and brothers that we have not listened for your word, that we have not obeyed your commands, we have not loved as we have been loved, we have not sought your peace and the unity of the church, we have not forgiven as we have asked to be forgiven. We have allowed distrust and fear to rule our hearts and diminish our lives, and have created division and hurt when we should have sought each other's good. Forgive us all that is past, and renew us for all that lies ahead, reconciling us with each other and with you, our God. And now let us pray in the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. We continue our worship with hymn 88, Up From the Depths I Cry to God, which is based on our opening psalm. Hymn number 88. Thank you. I would ask Raina to come forward and read this morning's scriptures.
The reading, first reading this morning, is taken from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 9. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went on a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, Get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his side was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 6, verses 35 and 41 to 51. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whosoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whosoever believes in me will never be thirsty. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whosoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Loving God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to speak and us to hear your living word. On your people pour your power and grant that each one of us may be touched and moved in the way you want us to go. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In last week's sermon, I mentioned that John Calvin, one of the reformers, liked to talk about Christians as being baked into one loaf. And this morning, both of our passages mention bread. And in the passage from John's Gospel, we have Jesus describing himself as the bread of life. It's not a survey, but what is your favourite type of bread? What's the most popular type of bread in Scotland? I haven't done any scientific research, but I suspect that the bread that's most often brought is ordinary sliced white bread. The pan loaf, I think it's called, with its soft, predictable, consistent texture and a flavour so bland that it's hard to describe. It's very popular. It's a good base for jam, cold meat, cheese and chocolate spread, but not all at the one time. And when it's toasted, it's not bad with marmalade. And I think one of the reasons that it is so popular is because it's so ordinary. It doesn't have much taste, so it doesn't compete with the other flavours. It's not got much texture, so it's easy in the palate. And you don't have to work hard to chew it. It's consistent in its shape and colour and size. And being sliced, it's portion controlled. It's mass produced in prominent inner corner shops and supermarkets. And it's usually not too expensive. And on top of that, it usually lasts a while and stays fresh longer than other types of bread. But that's probably due to the preservatives that's in it, so maybe that's not such a good idea. As I mentioned, bread is at the heart of both of our readings this morning. The passage we read from John's Gospel is part of a much longer discourse about food. Food for the body and food for the soul. And one of the characteristics of John's Gospel is that it's difficult to isolate short passages from its larger context. John's Gospel is designed to be read in big chunks. His narratives and extended speeches are full of ideas and symbols and teaching. And when we try to take out one symbol or one idea, it unravels or opens up a whole load of other ideas and symbols. They all leap out at us when we look at the different passages in John's Gospel. In his Gospel, there's always so much to think about. So, in order to understand any particular passage from John's Gospel, we need to see where it's placed in the Gospel. And it's important to note that this morning's passage, that begins with Jesus proclaiming that he is the bread of life, follows on from John's account of the feeding of the 5,000, in which many hungry people were fed on very little bread. The beneficiaries of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 see a parallel between what Jesus did with the 5 loaves and what Moses did when their ancestors were hungry in the wilderness as they travelled from Egypt to the Promised Land. They quote scripture to Jesus saying, "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." The people had referred to manna as bread from heaven, but they gave Moses the credit for giving it to their ancestor. And Jesus seizes on this phrase and expands on it, taking it beyond the physical manna and beyond the satisfying of the wandering Israelites' physical hunger. He reminds his listeners that day of something that they should have already known, that it was God and not Moses, who who provided the manna in the wilderness. And Jesus tells the crowd that God the Father still gives them bread from heaven. The bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Startling words. Words which catch the attention of the people. So much so that they ask Jesus to give them this bread all of the time. But what do they mean by this bread? What are they thinking of when they talk about and ask for the bread from heaven? What kind of bread is it they are looking for? Are they, as I suspect they are, thinking about their stomachs and a constant supply of food? Are they hoping that they won't ever again have to go to the market to buy bread? Are they hoping that they won't have to stand over a hot stove anymore baking bread? Do they hope that never again will they have to worry about having enough to eat and drink? I suspect that they are primarily thinking of their physical needs. But whatever it is that they mean, Jesus uses it as an opportunity to teach them, to lead them the way that he wants them to go, to tell them quite clearly what the bread of God is, what it really is, what this bread from heaven really is, and what it means for them. And as always, Jesus' answer surprises some and offends others. And the remainder of his teaching in this passage on bread grows out of his answer that he is the bread of life. For Jesus tells them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." It's a bold claim that Jesus makes. The people had seen Jesus as a prophet like Moses, who could give them food for their bodies. But now he is challenging them to see him as something more than a miracle worker, something more than a prophet, someone more than someone who gives them physical bread, but to see him as the bread of God itself. These were not easy words for the many of the people in the crowd that day to understand. And they're still not easy for us to understand 2,000 years later. People need bread for their bodies, but the human spirit has needs which it often cannot identify. The human spirit has its own hungers, and people try to satisfy those in many ways. They become workaholics and amass a fortune, only to find that something is still missing, no matter how big their bank balance is. They make names for themselves by great achievements, but there comes a time when they realise that the praise of others still sounds hollow. People travel the world looking for new wonders and new experiences, only to lose their sense of wonder as one place begins to look pretty much the same as another. In the last analysis, whether we recognise it or not, whether people recognise it or not, our ultimate hunger is for acceptance by and fellowship with God. And God offers us this acceptance, and God offers us this fellowship in Jesus Christ. Jesus invites us to believe in him as the one that God has sent. And just as the human body needs food to sustain life, so the soul, the spirit, the essence of our being needs food to sustain it, an everlasting nourishment, food that never goes off, food that never goes bad, food for eternity. The only place where we can find this food is in the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when by faith we receive his life into our very being. He begins to nourish us and lives in us, and we live in him. Often, when people think about the feeding of the 5,000, the focus is on the miracle of the free meal, and not much attention is given to the bread itself and what it means. In the same way that the focus of the mass feeding is often on the miracle and not the food itself, so too with today's proclamation that Jesus is the bread of life, we usually focus our attention on Jesus rather than on the bread. But it can be difficult to understand what Jesus is saying about himself unless we look more clearly at bread. It can be difficult to understand the symbolism if we don't think about the symbol. And I think the key to this passage from John's Gospel, it's a lesson about richness, about quality. It's difficult to associate plain white bread, the mass-produced kind, with richness or quality. It's a good carrier for other flavours, but on its own it's very bland. There's a bewildering variety of breads available to us today. I can never remember which loaf it is I'm supposed to buy when I'm in the bread aisle of the supermarket. There's so many different types, different textures and flavours. Breads with seeds, breads with nuts, bread with fruit, brown bread, white bread, half and half bread, naan breads, rolls and baps and bannocks and soda bread, scones and tatty scones. There's so much available. When Jesus spoke of himself as bread, as the bread of life, it's difficult not to think of richness, a richness of texture, of boldness and of flavour, a veritable feast of goodness. And Jesus extends to us an invitation to join him in a greater feast, to lift their life of faith to another level. Jesus' first audience were steeped in the Old Testament with its many feeding stories. And we have one example today from the Old Testament. In the reading from 1 Kings, Elijah sets out on a long journey, sustained by the gift of the angel of the Lord, food, bread. And the angel doesn't feed him just once, but twice, and commands him, get up and eat. It wasn't just any food that the angel brought to Elijah. It was bread. And Elijah got up, ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. And we've already mentioned Moses and the manna in the desert. If this vision of bread given to us in John's Gospel teaches us anything about Jesus, perhaps the first lesson to keep in mind is that Jesus is not simple, not plain, not undemanding. Jesus is many textured, multifaceted and complex. Jesus is anything but bland. And Jesus calls us to love, to forgive, to encourage, to get involved. He shows us how to welcome, how to persist, how to stand firm. For Jesus was open and Jesus was welcoming. He enjoyed meals with strangers and with his friends. He rebuked the uncaring. He taught in the temple, raised the dead to life, challenged the complacent to care. He wept over the death of a friend, and he told stories. He drank wine at a wedding, and he washed the dirty feet of his disciples, and he prayed. When we hear Jesus proclaim, "I am the bread of life," all of these things and many more come to mind. And as we live our lives, as we live our faith, let us be rich in texture, bold in flavour, and nourishing to the world. No bland white bread in our love of God, but rich, abundant life, rich, abundant living, rich faith. Several years ago, my late father bought himself one of those bread-making machines in Aldi's. It must have been in a sale. And he enjoyed making his own bread. And he experimented with ingredients. And I used to love when I visited him, helping myself to a slice of the bread, especially when it was still warm. It was rich, delicious, and satisfying. So it is with Jesus, the bread of life, and so should it be with our life of faith. Amen. And may God add his blessing to this preaching of his word, now and forevermore. We continue our worship with hymn 511, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. Let us offer up our prayers of thanksgiving and concern. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise at all times. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, for you are the Creator of all, the one who fills us with hope through the resurrection of your Son, Jesus. You have brought us from death to life and from darkness into your light. He was put to death on a cross by those who feared him, by those whose hearts were filled with jealousy and hatred. Yet you raised him from the tomb, that we might all be saved, and brought safely into your kingdom of joy and peace. We thank you that in Jesus we have seen your promise of fullness of life for all peoples, made flesh and come among us, and that in him we see what we must do to bring your peace and justice to the world through the proclamation of the gospel in word and action. To you we lift up our hearts, O God, and give you thanks and praise through Jesus Christ, who is with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever. We pray for those whose life is marred or diminished by prejudice or poverty. May we know and feel the pain and suffering of others. Guide us to all that we can do to help. Help us live as children of the Father, sisters and brothers who, with the eyes of faith, see all people as bearers of God's image, temples in which the sacred dwells. May we be at peace with ourselves, live in a spirit of humility, and deal with others, even those who oppose us, with gentleness, honesty, and respect. Teach us dialogue, not conflict. We pray for our leaders, for the Queen, government ministers, and all who serve our country, our parish, and our communities. Grant them wisdom, that they may seek justice in all things, compassion, that they help those suffering from disease and injustice, especially the most vulnerable. We pray for all peacemakers, for peoples and lands divided, for families and children suffering because of war. May they be peace in all the troubled and violent and torn places of the world. Eternal Father, we pray for those whose life is blighted by loneliness, for those who are facing bad news, for those who are anxious or hurting, who can't sleep and find little comfort. And we pray for those who are dying and for the bereaved. And we offer all our prayers in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. And we finish, bring our service to conclusion this morning with a hymn that sums up the theme of the service. 167. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. 167. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all this day, henceforth and evermore.